18 months is how long emergency managers are allowed to stay in power under the state's emergency manager law. And it has now been 18 months that Kevin Orr has been in charge of Detroit's finances. There have been closed-door meetings between Mayor Mike Duggan and Detroit City Council members this week talking about Orr's future. Here to fill us in is Michigan Radio's Detroit reporter Sarah Swick and Nancy Kaffer, columnist at the Detroit Free Press. Hey, you two.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So first, Sarah's, fill us in on what we know about these ongoing conversations in council.
Well, in terms of substantive details of these conversations, we really don't know a whole lot at all. They started after the council's, they formally started after the council's weekly session on Tuesday. And as far as we know, they've carried on ever since, mostly involving Mayor Duggan and the council members, but also at various points, Kevin Orr himself and some of the federal mediators who have been involved in Detroit's bankruptcy process. Leading up to this, I mean, we knew that they were trying to work out a transition agreement to transition Orr out as the emergency manager. The date for that, in which that could actually happen at the earliest, is Saturday, I believe. But in terms of what that process is going to look like and what's been agreed on so far, we really don't know.
Nancy, what are you hearing?
You know, this is a politically difficult situation because if you were elected during the tenure of the emergency manager as a Detroit official, it's a really fine line for you to walk. There's a necessity of what's happening in the bankruptcy. And frankly, if Kevin Orr were to leave amidst this bankruptcy, I can't help but think it disaster is kind of a mild term for how it would play out. But that puts, you can't blame politicians for taking political considerations into account. And it's a very strange spot to be in, to be either considering whether or not to keep the emergency manager who, in the eyes of some voters, has supplanted the Democratic rule in the city, in an awful way, keeping this person for the pragmatism of running the bankruptcy, but then sort of the point of the way many people are going to view this.
Here's State Senator Burt Johnson, a Democrat. He opposed an EM initially, but this is what he said yesterday.
It's a little bit of a precarious situation we find ourselves in right now. I don't know that the city of Detroit hasn't been taken too far down this road of bankruptcy, where it can let probably its chief bankruptcy specialist go in the middle of that fight.
Okay, so Burt Johnson, Democrat, one lawmaker initially against the EM, now saying, hey, we need Orr around in some capacity. So, Sarah, what does it sound like Orr will be doing for the city if and when he's voted out as EM?
First of all, I think Nancy's absolutely right in the fact that we really can't overlook the political dimensions of all this, or you're sort of balancing what is allowed under Public Act 436, the emergency manager law, and also what these politicians have all, elected leaders in Detroit have all campaigned on, and what they all may or may not want at this point, or even, regardless of what maybe they want, what they sort of in their practical heart of hearts know that they can get or need to finish out this bankruptcy process. Duggan has, when he was campaigning, quite understandably, he was very much against, the concept of an emergency manager and, Kevin Orr as the emergency manager. But he sort of softened the rhetoric quite a bit recently and even gone so far as to say things like, if Kevin Orr, I'm against having him as an emergency manager, but, if he hadn't been emergency manager, I would have hired him as a bankruptcy lawyer to advise me on this process. And I need him on as a consultant type arrangement to finish out this bankruptcy. So I think that's what is the arrangement that they're trying to make. I think the devil is really in the details, though, in terms of, what powers are going to be transitioned back to fully to the mayor and to the council.
Another point that Judge Rhodes, who's overseeing the city's bankruptcy and the person who he hired to evaluate the city's plan of adjustment and its feasibility after bankruptcy, they have both emphasized that the city's ability to get its business together and to run itself with agreement between the branches of government, moving forward in a unified fashion to actually execute this plan is the real make or break factor to whether or not the plan is viable. So if we kind of, the end of the bankruptcy has begun, and if we can't make it through the end of the bankruptcy without infighting and poor decisions about managing the bankruptcy being made, I don't know how anyone has confidence about the management of the city post-bankruptcy.
Right, and Governor Snyder has been saying the same thing as well. The governor, of course, who appointed emergency manager Kevin Orr, here's what he also had to say yesterday.
I think there's a lot of potential value to say how he could stay involved in some capacity with respect to the bankruptcy proceedings themselves.
So it sounds like everyone is on the same page, whether we agreed with the fact that an EM should be appointed or not. Everyone now thinks he should stick around. But again, I think, as you're saying, we just don't know what that's going to look like.
And here's another point. Technically, the term of the emergency manager really can't end until the emergency has been resolved. If you are still in bankruptcy, can you legitimately claim that the emergency is over?
Just because 18 months is up.
Right. I mean, and then there's all these questions about whether or not when PA 436 was passed, I think that there were differing opinions on whether or not the 18-month term meant for a specific emergency manager or for an emergency manager generally. So can Governor Snyder appoint a different emergency manager when Kevin Orr's term is up? Does that mean that you only get 18 months of emergency management ever? I mean, these are questions that, if pushed, will lead to litigation, and I don't see how litigation is going to really convey the impression that people are on the same page and are moving in lockstep for the benefit of the city.
We're talking with Nancy Kaffer, columnist at the Detroit Free Press, and Sarah Swick, Michigan Radio's Detroit reporter. Sarah and Nancy, both of you, of course, cover the city. What is the sense now, 18 months on? Did things work out as folks sort of assumed they would? Have things been better than sort of all of the scary headlines that were written when, you know, bankruptcy was first filed, when Kevin Orr first took over?
I would say that I think things have been better in the sense that, you know, people were saying initially that this bankruptcy case could take years, it could be dragged out, it could be bogged down in this sort of legal no man's land forever. That certainly doesn't appear to have happened, and I think everyone's expectation is that the actual bankruptcy process itself is going to be resolved pretty quickly within the next few weeks here. But I think, you know, sort of the real proof in the pudding in terms of how the bankruptcy process is really going to affect Detroit and whether, you know, and then this transition back to the, you know, actual governance of the elected leaders. I mean, it's important to note that the state is going to stay pretty heavily involved in Detroit's finances for the next probably several years or so, you know, and they can under the emergency manager law. So Detroit is once again going to be sort of entering this hybrid phase where the elected leaders and the state are sort of going to be, I think, haggling a little bit more over specific powers. And I think we've already started to see some instances in which, you know, the state and the emergency manager want one thing and maybe the city council wants another thing. So I think there's going to be this kind of ongoing struggle over the balance of power and how it's going to resolve itself. I don't know yet.
Nancy, do you see that happening as well?
You know, there's always a push-pull in politics as to who holds what power. I mean, city council and mayor have a duty, a city charter granted duty, to exercise their abilities on behalf of the city's best interest. For council, there's a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that things that they're passing, that the mayor is proposing, are good for the mayor. Obviously, administrative and executive responsibilities. Because there is a state board in place, that's going to be a part of the transition doesn't excuse them from those responsibilities. And it would be, I think, you know, if the mayor and council just kind of stood by and let a state board run everything, I don't think they would be doing their jobs. As Sarah said about something else, the devil is in the details, as generally it is, and how that relationship works, how those relationships are managed, and what kind of sensitivity and openness both sides bring to these negotiations. Everyone has to keep in mind the city has to come first, the residents have to come first. It's the whole point of the bankruptcy. It's the whole point of having a city is to serve residents. And, you know, the big changes that the bankruptcy could potentially have are incremental. These are not things where suddenly you wake up one day and all of your streetlights are on or all of the abandoned houses are down or, you know, these are slow changes that happen over time. And if these things happen, people will have confidence in the system. And if they don't happen, then what are we doing any of this for?
Finally, in the last minute that we have, quickly to both of you, what are you going to be watching for, let's say, in the next few days?
The outcome of this particular conversation with the form of Kevin Orr's what really needs to be continued relationship with the city and its bankruptcy is, and how various the kind of public front the mayor, the council, and Orr present here. We need to see unity.
I agree. I think how there, because clearly there are negotiations and probably pretty spirited conversations going on behind the scene, but I'll be pretty interested to see in terms of the deal that does eventually emerge, how much people, they obviously want to present a united front. I'll be interested to see how much that actually materializes, and if it does, how long it will last.
Mm-hmm. Detroit reporter Sarah Swick for Michigan Radio and Nancy Kaffer, columnist at the Detroit Free Press. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you, Zoe.